because I don't find anything out there in our age group that really speaks to us. And when I say us, African-American women and men out there knowing our story and knowing how to take that and not feel guilty about where we are and not feel guilty about not being able to bring the family along with you. It ain't just a friend. Sometimes you can't bring your family either.
There's no question. There's no question.
And a lot of us will do every and anything to bring the friends and the family, and they'll put you right in the bad position. So you got to know how to filter all of that. And that takes a certain skill set, but it also takes you about knowing how to edit your friends and doing it with intention.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
BEP is on fire. Our audience is growing fast and the impact is real. Now is the time for your brand to grow with us and reach a highly engaged, influential community with real spending power. Don't miss this moment. Email us today at media@tonytidbit.com. Let's make it happen and put you and your brand in front of the people that matter. We are coming to you live from our new BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Crispy Reed. Before we get started, we always like to remind our listeners to check out our partners at Code M Magazine. Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. Check them out, CodeMMagazine2Ms.com.
Definitely check them out. And I want you to check out today because we sit down with Charlie Lewis, real estate trailblazer, philanthropist, and author of No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age. Charlie reveals why his book is not just a guide, but a mirror reflecting the truth that leads to healing. We're going to explore with Charlie what he calls the five arms of life and the eight dimensions of wellness that shape his journey, offering wisdom on building intentional relationships, redefining success beyond 40, and embracing freedom in new environments. This conversation is a call to step off autopilot and choose life of purpose, growth, and joy at every age.
Before we get deep into this conversation, let me give you a little bit of background on my man Charlie here. Charlie Lewis is an associate broker for Compass and a lifestyle real estate agent who has closed more than $6 million of New York City sales alone over the last 20 years. He has been featured in publications, $600 million. That's a real number. He has been featured in publications such as New York Times and Essence, as well as on HGTV. Among Charlie's other talents and interests are philanthropy, as Tony said, traveling the globe, and writing. In fact, he has authored the book, No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age. He brings a unique perspective shaped by business leadership, community service, and a life lived across 68 countries. Wow. Charlie Lewis, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Welcome. Hey, glad to be here, guys.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you currently reside in these countries, and you know, a little bit about your family.
Hey, so it's me. It's just Charlie Lewis by myself, single. I reside presently in New York, in Harlem, and also in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in New York for 28 years, and I just started my second office in Atlanta 4 years ago with Compass. So that what brought me to Atlanta.
That's awesome, bro. So that's great. And are you from New York City originally?
No, I'm originally from Statesboro, Georgia, which is the low country right outside Savannah, about 45 minutes west of Savannah. Georgia Southern College is there. A lot of people heard of that, but left there in 1985 and haven't been back since.
All right. Well, buddy, number one, we're glad that you're here. And obviously, we want to dive into your book that you wrote, which is fantastic. No Apologies. Love the Way You Live at Any Age, right? And so we're going to dive into it and get into some of the, the nuts and bolts in terms of why you put it together and how it's going to help people of all ages. However, before we started, Chris went over your bio. He's, you know, buddy, you're very accomplished. You're moving and grooving. You got a lot of things going on. You're in demand. So why did you want to come on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, talk about this topic?
Hey, I think it's a great book to talk to this particular crowd because there are a lot of executives at this point in time in their life that are trying to figure out their next move, whether to retire or how do I start a new career. And that's the reason why I decided to come on your show.
Okay, buddy. Well, look, man, seems like in our production meeting, you got a lot of stuff to go over. So you ready to talk about it?
Hey, let's go.
All right, let's talk about it.
All right, so let me start with this. You know, at the beginning, when I first kind of looked at this and read through some things, I was thinking that you were trying to help think outside the box or whatever the case may be, but it may be you're redefining the box itself. So why did you feel that it was appropriate for you to write No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age, and change the narrative of what the box is?
Well, good question. And I love that question because what is the box? You know, the box was set up for you by other people in your life for a lot of times. So, for instance, a lot of us are living the lives of our parents. You know, a lot of us wanted to be creatives, but yet they said there was no money in the creative side of the world. You need to go into business, right? So you did that for your parents. And so you might have done a lot of things for your parents. You might have gotten married for your parents. You might have had kids for your parents. But the book is Love No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age, because I want you to live in your authentic truth. We are only put here for a number of years, and you need to live in your purpose. And living into that purpose gives you a fulfillment in life, and it gives you the joy and the happiness that one really needs. And that's what I discovered in my 20s when I was going through life. Or then I got in my 30s and I really thought I knew what I was doing and realized I didn't know anything. And then, you know, you have elders that are always talking to you, telling you what you should do, but they're not really giving you the roadmap, or they're not telling you, you know what, you might not want to do that, young fella. You might want to go about this way. But it seems like everybody wants you to go the route that they went, like that's the only way. And there's many ways to get to the end of life and live it in a fulfillment, in a way of fulfillment that you're really living in a joyous way for yourself and not for other people.
You know, my friend, number one, I love that. I want to dive a little deeper because, you know, you talked a little bit about your journey, right? Let's go there, right? Because obviously, pretty much everyone follows that path that you just came up with, right? We think we want to do this. Then somebody says, or parent says, you know what? You're probably better at that. And then we started following that path, but then we're not happy, right? Because we're not fulfilling whatever. And this doesn't always have to be about money and all those type things, but we're not fulfilling our best. So tell us about when you made that change. What was the epiphany for you as you were on your journey that says, you know what? No, I got to be me.
You know, it really was, it's interesting that you said that because it was, I went to Howard University, graduated from Howard, and then I went to Ohio for 2 years to work for Marathon Oil Company. And I was then basically left Chocolate City to go to White Chocolate Town.
Hold on, buddy. So when you say white, you left Chocolate City to go to White Chocolate Town, what do you mean?
Yeah, I went from Washington, D.C. to Findlay, Ohio.
okay, just wanted to be clear.
2,400 people in the company, and there were only five blacks. Okay. So that was, yeah, you know, White Chocolate Town. So anyway, went to Ohio, created an environment there that was kind of like a safety net, and we kind of created our own community. But I knew I wanted to go back into that safe place that I loved, that really gave me curiosity, like Howard University did and Washington, D.C. did. And so I was like, well, where is that? But I knew I needed to go to grad school. And I wanted to go to grad school. So I went to University of Texas for 2 years. But in the back of my mind, my dad kept on saying, are you coming home? Are you coming home? Are you coming home? And that was to come home and run his businesses. But as I left Statesboro, Georgia, and went to Washington, D.C., there was no way that I, a black boy from Statesboro, was going back to to Statesboro, Georgia. There was just no way. I had outgrown that. But I knew that when I was in Statesboro. I was ready to leave then and go far away. And so for me, it was that pull and tug of war that I was having with myself. And then one day I came home during the summer of 1992. And my mom, like mothers do, they have that innate ability to look at you and say, hey, what's going on with you? And I was like, I didn't really say anything. And then she just hung in on it like a psychic and said, you know what, son, this life that you have is for you to live. It's not meant for you to come back here to Statesboro, Georgia, and live the life of your father. Mm-hmm. Your father had this life and created these business to provide for the family. And so you need to go out and make your mark. And that was the first time that the weight just kind of dropped off my shoulders of me trying to fulfill a legacy of knowing that I am the only boy out of six of us. I'm the only son. So he wanted me to come back home to do that. But there was no way I could do that. And so that was the magical time that shifted in me. It was a seismic shift. And then later that summer was the first time that I had the courage to have a real conversation with my father about my relationship with him. And that was the beginning of me going down the journey of starting to live for me and live authentically for me. But it took years to get there, but it was the weight of him because he was the only man that I feared growing up in life. And so with him, it was the highway or no way. My dad was born in 1927. If he was living today, he would be 98 years old. So when you put that in context, he was from the silent generation. You grow up, you don't have emotion, you provide for your family, and you move through. So you never say, I love you. You never had those conversations. And I didn't have that conversation with my father until I got to be 25. So there was a lot of rebuilding in my life that I had to do personally for me to get whole, to go out here and to fight this thing called life. And so that was the beginning.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilabs protein bars are crafted with high quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
Let me ask you a question as the expert, because I want to give a juxtaposition from an older black person's perspective. I was at State Farm headquarters. I remember going to my grandmother and saying, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to this other company. And she was devastated because she said, and quote, they done gave you this good job, and you going. I was like, well, I earned the job. I went to school and this and that. But from their perspective, it's not that long where we couldn't just do whatever we wanted to. We couldn't just live where we wanted to live. So when we found a safe place, when we found security and stability, we held on to it with all we had. So their understanding of you can just go and do and be, how were you able to be so entrepreneurial in that aspect to think that at the time in which you did? Because we are only a generation or two where we couldn't move freely even within the county or the country, let alone just go and be whoever we wanted to. Give me that perspective in your mind.
Ooh, good question. I like that. Right. Really, because I had five older sisters. So having five older sisters, they had went out and were testing the waters.
Got you. Okay.
So my oldest sister was 18 years older than I. So, and my youngest sister closest to me was 4 years. So it was like me and her grew up, and then the older four grew up together. So it was really like two families in. And as I know today, you can come from the same family, but everybody is totally different.
Correct.
Because the older siblings are going to probably see the family, depending on where the family is. And I'm not saying this is for every family, but back during our time, I can say it freely for our time. The older siblings probably saw your family struggling, right? Mm-hmm. So they might have been the oldest ones, and they saw things and how they were treated. And the younger siblings, like myself, saw my family when they were successful and everything was prosperous and things were moving, and I didn't have to worry about anything. So that in itself gave me the freedom to move how I, you know, could come and go. In addition to that, I never realized how progressive my mother was until when I thought back and started writing this book, and she gave me those words and said, you go live your life. Don't live your father's life. And think about that. For a woman who would be 95 today, that's a progressive statement coming from someone in the South.
Right.
They were business owners, and they were in the civics of their community, and they were political, and they were in the church. So, you know, they had their life set out, but they were leaders in the community on so many different levels. So they did have a wider perspective. And in addition to that, my dad, he only finished the sixth grade. But when I would sit down with him or it was Sundays or, you know, down at night eating dinner, he would be like, pick up the paper and read the international section. He was very away from his community.
Right.
He thought outside the box. It was just not Statesboro. Even though he didn't travel like I do, you know, going on vacation was going to see his cousins. And that was it.
Right.
You had to go to Florida and sit on those hot couches with that plastic on, burning up at 95 degrees. And it was days like that, you know, and you were like, okay, can we go on a real vacation? But so I think my parents' perspective on life, their perspective on education, wanted their kids to grow and be better citizens of the world, is where I got that from.
Buddy, you know, it's funny that you, because I'm sitting here hearing this story, and a couple of things come to my head right off the bat. The movie It's a Wonderful Life, okay, where my man, he's stuck, right? Smartest one, right? Gives his money because, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then number two, I get it that, and I appreciate the breakdown of the silent generation. And Chris, you did. I love what you said too, because you're 100% right. And the book that you wrote, man, if you really think about it, in your story and how you just articulated it, people who are 40, 50, 60, they grew up the same way. All right. Where, you know, the father, they scared to tell the father anything. Right. And to be fair, the mother was always for the most part, would probably be more progressive, probably be like, let that boy do what he needs to do. Right. The father, you know, he ain't, you know, and so that I can definitely see that. And that's why there's a big need for your book. Right. Because there's a mindset that needs to be changed. Right. And here's the thing, though, not just needs to be changed for the older adults, but something that needs to be inputted in the younger generation where they don't get caught up in that. But the question I have for you, my brother, you said this, growth will cost you company, and that's not a failure, that's a filter. So tell us what you mean about that and give us a story around it.
Yeah, well, my book is No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age, and I use the 8 dimensions of wellness to tell the story. So in that particular chapter that you just read that from, that is in social wellness. And what that means is there's always a time and a place for people, and we always can say it different. You know, there's a season. You were in my life for a season
reason, right.
We move on from that. And so really what you have to have, what people have to have, and a lot of people don't turn and listen to their internal self, you know. And my sister always said to me, she said, Charlie, you got the spirit of discernment. It's a blessing and a curse. And I didn't know about the curse part. I knew about the blessing part, but I didn't know about the curse part. And she was basically like, you're going to know the situation. You always can go into a room and figure it out quicker than most. And you're going to always know whatever type of relationship that you're in, if it's going to work out for you, whether that be personal, business, family, the job, or whatever. And it's just something that I notice about you growing up with you. And this is my sister, who's 4 years older than me, who happens to be the bishop. And she always said that. So from a spiritual perspective, I've always listened to her and always understood her words, and understand also too that we're, you know, we come from a higher power, and I give it all to God, my creator, to lead me and guide me. And so I listen to that. And so when you start to grow, You have to understand that there are people that you're going to have to filter through, because some of those individuals are not going to want to, can't come along. They're going to be hang-oners, there for the ride, but they're not going to be offering anything for you. So you actually have to go out and get a new set. So if you want to be a part, if you want to hang out, and if you want, if you, for instance, if you're in business, and if you are a realtor like myself, and if I want high net worth individuals, then I have to go where high net worth individuals are.
Right.
I can't sit and hang out in the neighborhood pub or lounge or tavern on the corner and have a cocktail. I need to go where the people are that are having those said cocktails, but I need to pick the locations differently. So that alone might not be able to allow me to hang out with some of the people that I was hanging out in the past, that now that I'm in a new circle or trying to reach and go to a new plateau, where do I find those individuals? So there are some people you can bring along and some people you can't. So you just got to know how to filter them out. And I always say, basically, you got to curate your life. And if you use that term, it will help you in so many different ways.
The intentionality of that curation. And so I do seminars on change management. And one of the things I start is from the psychological perspective of we're naturally not predisposed to accept change. And that's because, like we talked about earlier, safety, serenity, and security. So to have that ability to say, hey, I'm coming off of a divorce, or I'm coming into a new career dynamic, that's daunting to some individuals. How do you address the ability to make that intentional change, accept it, and move on? Because as you stated, not everybody's going to ride out with you. Everybody's not like your mama, and right. they're not, you know, as wise as your sister. And they, some people don't want for you to go, because then it shows them that they're stuck. So how do you address those things?
I love the way you said that, because it addresses people where they are at that time in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, in the back of each chapter, I have what I call tens across the boards. So, you know, you're always trying to perfect your things, and you're at a scores table, and you know you want to get the highest, you want to get a number 10. It's just like gymnastics. Mm-hmm. You want a perfect 10, right? So I give you steps at the end of each chapter to say, just take it one day at a time. This doesn't happen overnight. This book is about putting in work. And this book is for people who have put in work, but then still might feel a little afraid about putting that foot forward. Or how do I step out? How do I change this career? How do I know I need to add on something different? So with that, it gives you that one step that you need, that encouragement to say, okay, well, if this guy did it, I can do it too. But sometimes you just have to have people speaking to you differently, and you have to speak into people differently. And I think I do that very well in the book, as far as through my stories that I tell, that the things that I went through, you know, at a young age growing up to then be where I'm at and looking at it from the outside in. And also too, you know, through the church, through therapy, through having a good group of friends that really give me good feedback, I've been able to get on this other side to be able to write this book and to be able to, I think, give it for people in our age group. Because I don't find anything out there in our age group that really speaks to us. And when I say us, African-American women and men out there knowing our story and knowing how to take that and not feel guilty about where we are and not feel guilty about not being able to bring the family along with you. It ain't just a friend. Sometimes you can't bring your family either.
There's no question.
And a lot of us will do every and anything to bring the friends and the family, and they'll put you right in position. So you got to know how to filter all of that. And that takes a certain skill set, but it also takes you about knowing how to edit your friends and doing it with intention, because everybody can't do everything with you. I don't travel with the same people that I go to shop with or to a movie with or to out to eat with. You know, there are certain people I travel with because I know they know how to travel. I know how to travel. Mm-hmm. And we can go off and not worry about, well, okay, Tony, I'm getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning. You gonna be ready? Mm-hmm. No. Tony is like, I'm sitting in this bed until 10 and I'll meet you at lunch. And that's fine. And that's what you want. You don't want where you go on vacation and you feel like it's the labor of, oh my God, I got to tell this person what to do. Or this person don't want to do anything. I don't have to worry about that because now I have curated my life. So therefore, at this point in time, at 58, I'm hanging out with the people that I want to hang out with on a daily. And I don't have enough time to hang out with the people that I really want to hang out with. So to hang out with somebody that's not really serving me, I'm not going to do it.
Let me ask him a question. Yeah. I'm sorry, because he spends some game. How did you, and is there a portion in the book where you talk about the ability to simultaneously be proud of where you're from, but know that you outgrew that? Because when you said you was from Statesboro, you had a smile on your face, is that? But then when you said, I ain't been back since, you also had a smile on your face. So right. In the idea of, because we from there, doesn't mean we have to stay there, whether it be friendships, relationships, or locations. How do you then switch that? Like, you know, how do you turn that on and be okay with it? Because I'm sure you've heard, like you said, your pops wanted you to come back. There's other people that didn't want you to go too far away from, remember where you're from, all that. We hear this as black folks all the time. Don't get, you know what I'm saying? Don't let them change you and this and that. We want that same residue from Statesboro to be all over the world, but it don't travel well. How do you manage that?
It's funny because everybody thought when I got to Howard, I was from Atlanta.
Okay.
It was just like, you are not from Statesboro, Georgia. It was just, you know. But my dad was a mover, and so I moved all over the state.
Gotcha.
And so I did get to see outside of the prism of Statesboro. So I was not just locked to that community.
Okay.
So I knew that there was more. And then I write in the book how my sister, when I was in the fourth grade, she said, you're coming to stay the summer with her in Washington. Mm-hmm. And so I expanded from then. So I was able, even though my parents didn't travel with us growing up, my sisters knew that my parents were not traveling. They were the ones that reached back, grabbed us, and said, come stay with us during the summer.
Gotcha.
And my sister, my mother's aunt, she was the first ordained minister in Georgia, female minister in Georgia.
Okay.
She would have me go with her. I would go with her just to get away from my mom and daddy. Because I couldn't. My daddy was, I'm telling you, my daddy was hell on wheels growing up. He had me working in every business from I was 6 until I was 18. So I was ready to go. I was just getting it. That environment was just rough. But that was my old school father and the way he grew up. And so he grew up with, you know, that work ethic that I have now is because of him. But, you know, growing up, I thought we were poor. I ain't know we was one of the wealthy families in the city because I worked every day and all my friends were always playing and I was the one working. So Statesboro was a place for me. It has fond memories. I'm a Georgia boy. So what that means I have a Southern father who taught me Jim Crow South, what that meant, what that looked like, how to navigate that, how to then get your education and do, you know, circumvent all of the things that I was going to face in life. He let me know I'm a black man going out here. I'm giving you to education. I'm giving you the education, but I'm not giving you the education to go work for them. I'm giving you the education to go work for yourself because you're going to be smarter than them. And they're going to want to keep you back. So that's what I grew up with. And I grew up with my daddy telling me stories every day, every week. You know, so today, you know, when social media came out and everybody had a social media or a motivational quote, I was like, I don't need that. I got plenty of motivation in my father's storytelling all the time, you know. So that's what I'm proud of. And I'm proud that I had a father who knew who he was as a provider. Now, he wasn't the emotional father, but we got that later in life when I got to be 25 to 46 when he died. So my relationship with him got like that during that time. But growing up, we were
miles apart.
So, buddy, you talk about in your book the five arms of life, right?
Yep.
And the eight dimensions of wellness, right? Talk a little bit about that, because you said, you know, a few minutes ago, which is so true, this is work. This is, you know, there are steps to this, right? This is not instant oatmeal. You can't microwave it, because as much as you may want to say, I want a different life and I'm going to do this tomorrow, well, you don't put the work in, right? There are certain steps. You may do it for a little bit, but you're going to end up right back where you are from a mental standpoint. So talk a little bit about that.
So the arms of life, I call it, this is your arm, right? So you have your family, you have your spiritual being, you have your job, and you have your, I always put over here, your personal relationship. And then you have your, I'm drawing a blank. You have your job, your family, your friends group, that fourth one is friends. Okay. And then your personal relationship, which becomes your husband, wife, or significant other, your partner, whatever floats your boat, right? And I always look at life where some of these are going to be up and some of them are going to be down, you know. So you might be in a relationship, you might not be in one. You might have a good friend group, you might not. Your job, you might be on all cylinders, might not. So sometimes all of these are lined up and everything seems good, right? And then every now and then, something will knock yourself out, you know. So you'll lose your job. Then that affects these other things in your life.
Correct.
You know? And so I'm always saying that when you look at that, so your spirituality, your job, your friend groups, your family, and your personal relationship, when you look at those and you can just take one at a time and work on that, right? So you can work on your friends. You can cut them back. You can keep some. You can get rid of your job. You like that job? Okay, good. You're moving, you're shaking, you're climbing the corporate ladder, perfect. Spirituality, where are you? Are you in the church, out of the church? You don't have to be in church to get church, to have church. Whatever spiritual being you might want to partake in, that's up to you. And then the same thing with your family. You really have to work on your family if you don't have a good relationship with it. Does it have to be perfect? No, it doesn't have to be perfect. But you want it to be civil, so you at least have a conversation when things go south or when people need you the most. So you might grow up with a sibling that you don't really care for or whatever, but just keep it civil. Because the last thing is, you don't want to have a relationship with anybody that you're talking to a dead picture and not getting the answer. Because what I realize in life is that we go through life so much worrying about somebody, or somebody did something to us, or we're thinking that the other person is not even thinking about that. They don't even know that they are a problem for you or that you have an issue with them. And we all go around holding up so much energy and negative energy about a particular person, and they have no idea. And I'll say, case in point, that was how it was when I had that conversation with my father. Of course, he didn't know how he treated me growing up. He could care less. He didn't even think about it. You know, because in his life, he didn't have options. He didn't have time to think. He didn't have time to go to therapy. He didn't have time. He didn't have time for all of that. He could vote. He couldn't vote until he was 38. Think about that.
That's insane.
When you just start chronologically going in order of sometime of people and relationships, you start to realize I'm holding on more or holding more of a grudge than I need to be, and I need to give people grace. So that's that. And then your personal relationship. We all know what that is. That could be on. That could be off. That needs work. It don't. You need to go to counseling. Go to counseling. Go to couples therapy. But go to couples therapy before you get married. Don't go to couples therapy after you get married. You should always have therapy before you go into something, especially when you're starting to change your life. And then what I did was, so I looked at that. That's always how I looked at my life, because those things are the most important things to me. But then what I used was the eight dimensions of wellness. And the eight dimensions of wellness are social wellness, emotional, physical, spiritual, environmental, intellectual, and occupational wellness. Those are tenets
that I use to basically tell my story about where I am today and where I was in the past that allowed me to get to the point where I could love the way I live, with being unapologetic about it and not caring, you know. And that's what I want everybody to get to. Basically, it's called freedom at the end of the day.
Can you imagine that's right.
How many people could be and what the world we could do in this world if we were all free and got rid of all our trauma and got rid of started living for us and started caring about other people, maybe the white gays that we get, enamored with, and just worried about what we can do and where we are. That would be a beautiful thing.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
Let me ask you this. How often do you personally, it's a personal question, how often do you reevaluate the balance that you said that we should be creating with the five pillars there? How often is that reevaluated? Because the one thing, we can't set it and forget it, right?
Okay. No, you can't.
But life doesn't work that way because things could be happening multiple. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way because you're going to have a death, so your family dynamics going to change. Mm-hmm. Big time. I had the family dynamics in my family changed in 12 to 14. In 18 months, four strong alphas in our family passed away. That dynamic shifted real quick. My daddy died, my aunt died, my sister died, and my great uncle died. They were all very hands-on in the family, controlling things. So it was like, family is what's happening, you know? So you're always evaluating your career. My career is shifting now with this book. So it's an evaluation of, okay, yes, I'm still doing real estate, but where I'm going with this is masterclassing, coaching, speaking engagements, and stuff like that. So this is part three for me in my third quarter. I'm in the third quarter. So I'm like, I want something new. What are we doing? So the book came together, and that's why we're here. So that's why we're talking on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, because we're changing that up. And so being an executive at one point in time when I was in corporate America, to step out of that zone, then I got into entrepreneurship with owning my own marketing firm. That zone, that didn't, and then moved into real estate, working in that zone, to now working and moving into this direction. Still do real estate, but I'm moving into this direction. So it's always a constant evaluation, because I think the way I look at life, I love life, number one. And during COVID, me and a good friend of mine, y'all might have heard of her, because she used me in her series Forever, Mara Brock Akil. I'm the Uncle Charlie in episode 5, if you watch that series. And if you notice anything in there, it's going to be Howard from episode 1 to episode 8, and that's my influence. But we were sitting down during COVID or after COVID and said, God, we got too many stories to tell. We got too much to do in this world. Don't take me. I'm not ready to go. So that's how I look at life. I'm not ready to go. Use me right now on this planet, on this earth, to move me forward, because there's so much that I know in my generation. One being that I'm a realtor. So what? Everybody use me as their therapist already. So I'm hearing these stories in this book is about what you guys talk to me about.
Right.
You know, people come to me all the time. I've saved people from getting married. I've saved people, you know, from not buying a property because I saw that they were not together. And so I had to, you know, interfere there. But I saw it, and it all worked out. But, you know, I have a voice. I'm going to use it. And I think that's why the man here on this planet Earth said, Charlie, go be a vessel for me and tell.
Absolutely.
And heal the people.
Absolutely.
You know? So I'm doing my own ministry in my own way. bottom.
So we love that, buddy. That's awesome. Here's the thing, though. This is a question I have for you, right? You know, if I'm watching this, you know, or listening to it, and I'm like, wow, this guy's got a lot of energy, and I love, he's a giver, and he put this book together to help other people. And, you know, however, as we know, like we just said a few minutes ago, life doesn't wait for you to fix this one spot. Right? Because life, you know, that's just the way it goes. Right? And so if I'm listening and saying, wow, I'm interested, but this seems like a lot of work, right? This seems like, you know, where do I start at? Because at the end of the day, you know, I want to be free. Like you said, I want to be free, right? But Charlie, right? There's a lot. You threw a buffet at me, right? And I need to know, do I start with the vegetables or do I go to the meat or the fruit? So for that person, man, talk about, break it down. You know, there's an old saying like, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So break it down. Where would somebody start to at least start getting themselves mentally and physically? Because you talk about physical wellness. You talk about intellectual wellness. You talk about financial wellness. So there's a lot here. All right. So where do they start and break it down, buddy?
It's packed, but and you will see it. And when you know, it's packed. It's a lot of information. And it really comes down to what's nagging at you. What's really bothering you the most? So is that your health? Did you go to the doctor and get your A1C levels are up? Did you go and get your PSA tested and realize, they're a little high. You might have prostate cancer. You know, are you getting your tests now? You know, every man, I say 50, they done lowered the age of 45 when it comes down to physical, getting your, you know, prostate check. But definitely at 50, you should put on your calendar when your birthday is, go get a physical for the year. Just a physical, not a prostate exam, a physical. So get your heart checked, look at your weight, look at your sugar levels, all of that kind of stuff. That way, at least you know you're healthy there. Why do all of this work, build all of this, have three, four kids, be successful, but yet you're not healthy mentally, physically, or mentally?
So what you're saying is somebody needs to start from a health and mental standpoint.
What I'm saying is you got to start with what's bothering you the most. And I used the example of you went in to get a checkup and they told you something. Not right.
Got it. Well, that could be anything for each individual. Got it.
Each individual, you can hit it in any level of wellness that you want to.
Got it.
Number two, if you want to, if your spirituality ain't right and you want to change that up, then you might need to look for a new church that's speaking to you, because that same old church you've been going to since you grew up might not be the right church for you. And you might need to go out there and you might need to research and just put one step foot forward. Or you a person that never traveled, you know, or because you've been too busy, but yet you've been curious. And so you might just want to take that trip and have that. I always say curiosity is the thing that you have to have as you get older. If you don't have curiosity, then you're just existing. And I don't want to exist. That's a boring way of life. And people are always trying to figure out, like, how do you stay young? How do you look young? What's your story? Number one, I got a vanity gene. That's number one. Okay. So number two, I'm talking. I am Uncle Charlie. I'm talking to the kids. I'm like, what's up? What's new? What y'all doing? What's here? I'm curious. Because when we were doing it, let me tell you how we did it. You know, but I tell it in a fun way, not in a authoritarian way or like your father telling you. So kids always respect me and they come up to me, Charlie, what we doing? Blah, 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 blah. Or you are at an impasse with your significant other. And you got to figure that out. So you got to go to therapy or something. But you got to figure out the steps on what you. So when I say put in the work, you got to put one step forward, but you got to at least start taking accountability for where your actions are. And yes, it's a lot. And I see a lot of guys like, you know what? Screw this, man. I'm going into the sunset like this. If that's the way you choose to do it, then you do that.
Right.
But if you want to live a fruitful life and one where now you have the means and the wherewithal to do better than what you did in your 20s, why wouldn't you want to do better now and get it done the right way when you have the means to do everything that you could want to do? So right. I think you should be looking at this part of your life with abundance and looking at it and serving. So go out there and serve others. Help the kids. You don't have any kids? You can still volunteer. Do this. Go coach a little league baseball team or something. But keep it young. Keep it youthful. Don't settle for, oh man, I'm old and these bones got me. And you know, you hear that old talk. I don't subscribe to none of that.
Right.
So I always say, love the way you live at any age. So you can be 35 right now, and it's a roadmap for you to take this book, read this book, and understand what not to do when you get to be 40 and 50. But to start working on you now at 35, because what? Don't 35-year-olds think they know it all now? But they don't.
Right?
Wait till you go through, get those kids out, whatever the case may be, and then look at that partner and say, oh, it's just me and you here now. What are we doing?
Let me ask you this, though, because you've sold over $600 million in real estate sales. Yeah. So you've been around people that's got bread, right? So going beyond the bread, everything is about the bag for Black folks. Like, they feel like if I had enough money, these issues, unfortunately, we believe that money is the elixir that'll blah, blah, blah. How do you get people? And in your experience, how have you talked people, or what advice would you give people beyond thinking that money is going to solve X, Y, and Z, and that you have to have something else to counterbalance that in your life beyond the stuff and things?
Because money don't bring happiness. It's just simple. Mm. You can have a house in New York, house in Atlanta, house in St. Bart's, house in London. Mm-hmm. You can only be in that house that length of time, that length of time. You can buy 5 cars. Mm-hmm. You can have 1,000 pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. It don't bring happiness. It's just stuff. It's material stuff.
I got people that'll fight you in the face. I got people that'll fight you in the face over that statement, sir. They just choose because they never had it. They choose to believe that if only I had.
We're in a consumer environment, right?
Correct.
We consume a lot, absolutely, more than what we need. I always say, go through life as you get older and you get 50. When you get to 50, stop editing your life. Cut back. Downsize your house. Downsize your clothes. Downsize what you don't need all that stuff anymore. Okay, you already did that. You showed mama. Mama, I made it. Got the sign. Mama, I made it. Look at me. I'm great. Okay. I'm good. I'm glad my mom and dad got a chance to see me being successful. I'm good. It's funny when they leave and you're like, what am I doing all this for now? Who am I doing it for now? Because when you used to do something, first thing you do is call your mom and say, mama, I got this contract, X, Y, Z. You know how much they're paying me? Blah, blah, blah. What? Baby, that's good. That's the conversation. You ain't got success. I can tell my sisters, but they're like, oh, yeah, I'm busy right now. Call me later, Charlie. That's what happens. Right. They got their life. They don't care. Moms and dads, when you don't have moms and dads, you don't have that cheerleading behind you, pushing you up, keeping you going. So right now, what's keeping you going? You have to have something that's fulfilling you to keep you going.
There's no question.
But if you don't, you are going to be a miserable old soul.
No, you ain't going to.
Everybody's going to be miserable and not want to be around you.
Not only that, you ain't going to be, you won't be alive long because you have nothing to wake up for, right?
Nothing to wake up for. So you'll go out and do something reckless.
Yeah, there's no question.
And not care. The other thing is, I'm very truthful with my people, with my high net worth individuals. And they love working with me because they like, you keep it 100, don't you, Charlie? I'm like, look, y'all, I don't care how much money you got, unless you just want to write me a check, okay, for caring. Give me a check then. Okay, I care, but I don't care. Are you happy with the money you got? What difference are you making with the money you got? And this is how I talk to my clients. Are you making a difference in the money? You know, when we get off and have a cocktail and just talk and really get to know each other, I keep it real. It's just like, and then they see through me this guy is sincere. This guy lives this talk. Mm-hmm. I'm not writing it in a book and don't live it. I actually went through what I put in this book for others to not have to go through, or just show them a way of how to avoid it or abort and go
right.
the way.
Right.
You know, with it. But yes, honest conversations. And I think we need more of that. And I get that from my father. And that is why I always light up when I think about him, is because I always thought I was like my mom. The empathy part of me came from her. But the realness and the no nonsense and the give it to you straight, no chaser, came from Charlie Sr.
Let me ask you this, buddy. So, look, you're a guy, you love life, you have a lot of energy. And what I'm seeing is, and here's the thing, there's an old saying, is what you do speaks so loudly that what you say I can't hear. All right? And so what do I mean by that? You're not just writing joy, you are joyful. I see it in the way you talk, through your mannerisms, the excitement. And one of the things that you write about is in your book is we need to stop delaying joy, right? Talk a little bit about that, right? Because here's the thing, and you know this, and we've all been here, right? Probably, and I wish I could look this up. Maybe we need to ask ChatGPT or Black ChatGPT. But I think if I had to just think based on my own experience out of the percentage of words that we use throughout our lifetime, I would bet that the word joy would be at the bottom, because people say happy and they'll say this and I'm mad or this, but joy, I'm joyful, 1%, maybe, right? Right. So talk about, because when people see that, do they really know what joy is? Stop delaying joy. So talk a little bit about that, my brother.
Well, one thing I always say that is Black joy is resistance. That in itself.
So expound on that. When you say Black joy is resistance.
Black joy is resistance. With this whole passing of Charlie Kirk.
Right.
And I was online and a friend of mine, you know, I made my statements, what I thought. And then a friend from high school, who I really don't associate with, chimed in and said, well, for you, you're living better than 90% of your classmates, you and this other person. And I laughed at that because I knew that that person was watching my life and hated the fact that I was this color. And every time they see me, it's just...
It burns them up. Right.
It burns them up because we are not over there suffering. We are... not over there living a life of destitute, but we over there living. We're having a good time. It's laughter. It's smiling. It's me around my Howard Bison enjoying HU all day till the fullest. It's me in the vineyard having my friends and enjoying. It's us sitting around a table just doing a card game or just whatever. It's just joy. You see me in Vietnam, you see me in Tokyo, you see me in Istanbul, you might see me in London, you see, and then I'll be back in New York, and then I'll be back in Paris, and it bothered her. So what I say is, you can't listen to the outside chatter. You got to get right within your heart and your mind and want to say, I don't want to live a life of trauma, and I definitely don't want to live a life of regret, and I don't want to live a life for somebody else that has no agency in me. So you want to, one, reclaim agency, take the narrative back, stop listening to this outside noise, focus in on you, start to better yourself, and that joy comes. Because as they say, what they say, joy comes in the morning.
Morning.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what it does. But God made you in the image of what he wanted you to be.
Correct.
Whatever that is. And you need to respect that, but you got to find out your purpose and how you're going to fulfill that and why he made you here. Do the best that you can with the tools and the skill set that you have. Because we could have been born, all of us right here, We could have been born anywhere.
That's correct.
In America. I always think about that. I'm waking up. I'm like, I was a United Methodist because my mom and dad was a United Methodist.
Yeah.
But I could have been born in India and could have been Hindu. Mm-hmm. I could have been born in Mexico. That's where my mind goes. My mind is always curious about just, do you think that? Have you thought that? You know, it's beyond the environment that I'm in.
Correct.
It's to transpose me and put me in another environment. When I was a kid, I always used to have the globe and I used to spin it, put my hand on it and say, I'm going there. And that's how I've been to 6 continents and 68 countries. Well, now it's 70. I left 2 off since the last time we talked, but that's what the goal is. And it's every year I go somewhere different, or every year I always go somewhere different, but I might go 2 or 3 places different than the year before, but I really never go back to a place, because what I do is I always use it as a time to go learn the culture and to then go learn history, because I hated history growing up because it was not representative of me and who I was. And so I took I was on a conscious effort of going to learn everything about Black history once I left Howard University, mm-hmm. because I loved it so much. And I was around the diaspora at that time with all my Caribbean brothers and African brothers that I never grew up with in the South. So that was a learning experience for me. But then for me to know more, I went on my own journey to do that. So when I travel, it's just not to go and wine and dine on Lake Como or shop in Milan. Is for me to go learn the history. So I'm going to the hood, I'm going to the museums, and I'm looking and I'm sitting at a cafe just to see and to look and see people. Because with that discernment spirit that I do have, I can pick up on things real quick. And it allows me to understand a culture and a place and a space to know if I want to go back there or if you should go back there or there's something to be learned there. Because so much is fed to you now that nobody is going out here. Nobody has critical thinking skills. They don't even know how to think for themselves. So that's what this book is about. It allows you that ability to leave your environment, to go out and expand yourself, expand your horizon, whether that be social, whether that be emotional, or whether that be spiritual. And all these dimensions of wellness, they flow and they intermix together. And once you start that journey of just having that curiosity gene in your body and thinking differently and not doing this group thing, then you will expand and it won't look like a big task, as you mentioned earlier, like, oh my God, it's so much to do. You just take it one day at a time. But the bottom line is just get out there and start doing it.
Let me ask this as we come to the end here. Tony had talked about some of the difficulties of being able mm-hmm. to, you know, make this transformation in your later years or basically deprogramming yourself from what you've been programmed. When you authored this book, was it designed to be a testimony of your life and times, or was it intended to be as inspirational as it is?
It's kind of both, to be honest with you. It's my life story, but with inspiration and hope.
Okay.
Enjoy there to let you know that you can do it. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be easy. A lot of people, and like I say, how I know, because I could talk to a lot of people our age and say, they say now, you know, the phone ain't ringing anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to be the CMO of Verizon. Mm-hmm. I'm not anymore. I ain't got tickets. I ain't got this and I ain't got that.
Right.
Nobody calling me.
Right.
They're looking around. I thought I was the man.
Right.
And then it happens, you realize, and then you got to sit with yourself. And then when you sit with yourself in silence, then what's eating at you? Then you realize, oh my God, I maybe gave up a little bit too much of who I was as a person right. in corporate America so I could survive
right.
in corporate America. Because we know as a Black man, you kind of got to give up a little bit of yourself.
There's no question. There's no question.
Survive in corporate America. Sisters can survive. They used to be able to survive, but I don't know. I think the bullet is on them now. So I don't know. They got a dart on their back now.
They're knocking them off left and right. Right? They left and right. Left and right. No, nobody can stay now. Right? Everybody getting knocked out.
Yep.
But here, buddy.
So I think now with that, you gotta, you know, when you look at that, you really have to evaluate yourself like that and understand what that's all about.
So listen, my friend, look, we could talk to you all day long, right? I mean, yeah. you got so much energy.
Jules.
You have so much that you want to share with people. You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about you just spin the globe around and hit and point and say, I want to go there. Reminds me when I was a kid, you know, growing up in Detroit, there was this cartoon called Commander McBragg, right? So he would point at a map on the wall and say, there, did you know that I went to the safari Africa? Let me tell you. And then he would tell his story. It was so funny. So you remind me of that. But here's the thing, buddy. Final thoughts. What do you want to leave the audience?
Hey, well, number one, I definitely want you guys to pick up the book. You can go to CharlieLewisNYC.com and get No Apologies. Love the Way You Live at Any Age. You can pre-order the book. By the time this podcast is launched, you might be able to get it, a real copy. But catch me also, too, in the No Apologies tour that I will have out on IG and TikTok and Facebook at Charlie Lewis Jr. And that's Charlie Lewis. That's Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S-J-R. That's on Facebook and Instagram. And then on TikTok is Charlie Lewis Jr., the number 6-7. So you can definitely catch me there. And you can always Google me, and you'll find me there as well.
Let me ask you this before we let you move on. How can a Black Executive Perspective podcast help you, Charlie?
How can a Black Executive podcast help me?
Yes, sir.
Well, definitely. Well, advertising. get the word out there. You know, but all of your networks, I think this is great for all of them. I think it's a book that they need to read. You know, it kind of gives them a do-over. I started my podcast, and you can go also to thank you for saying that, because you can go back. You can go to YouTube as well and go to the Charlie Lewis Show. I started a podcast back in 2020 during COVID. And that podcast at that time was started to educate people on what to do, because we were in the epicenter of COVID at the time, and only Cuomo was giving out factual information. So I was taking that information and sharing it with my network of friends to keep people masked up, because some states didn't have regulations. I think here in Georgia, people weren't required to wear masks, stuff like that. So it started out that way, and then it morphed into, when I said Love the Way You Live, I started talking to executives, like people that you have on your show, about when did they make that changeover? And when did they go after what they really knew they wanted to do? So when did they become that? All of a sudden, I was that high-powered exec. But yet, you know what? I really have a knack for making jewelry. And I'm going to start a jewelry business. Or I want to open up a coffee house. Or I want to, you know, open up a private social club. Stuff like that. And so I think we, as a network, we go deep and wide. As Black people on this earth, a lot of Black people don't know that. I can speak from that, from the diaspora, by attending an HBCU. So my friend group is wider probably than most, but we are in every space and place, all verticals, all over in different industries. We are there. It's about getting to us. And I like this podcast will allow us to get to people, to find a space or a place that they can hear this, and it will motivate them to continue their journey, but also free themselves up to get to that place, like I said, living with intention to get to freedom.
Buddy, my friend, I love it. We love it. We love your energy, your intellect, everything you bring. But more importantly, I love your love for your fellow human being. So we really appreciate you coming on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, sharing your story, talking about, you know, how your book, you know, No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age can help anyone. So we'll have you come back at some time down in the future to find out how things are going. But Charlie Lewis, author, philanthropist, life coach, motivator, The whole nine yards. We want to thank you for coming on the Black Executive Perspective Podcast.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity, Tony and Chris. I thank you so much, and much success to you guys. And I'm here when you need me. Let me know.
All right, buddy. All right. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And the tidbit today: healing begins when we release the need to appear perfect and embrace the truth of who we are. Real growth isn't about adding more. It's about letting go of what no longer serves us, creating space for joy. And to truly love the way you live at any age, you can't wait for somebody. You must choose today. And you heard a lot of that from our friend and new brother, Charlie Lewis.
We absolutely would like to implore you to check out Need to Know with Nasinga. You know, you don't want to miss this week's episode of Need to Know. It's a segment where Dr. Nasinga Burton on a Black Executive Perspective podcast dives into timely and crucial topics that shape our community and our world. Tune in to gain unique insights and deepen your understanding of issues that actually matter. Every week, you absolutely do not want to miss it.
Absolutely. And you don't want to miss the next Pull Up Speak Up here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, where our roundtable gets together and talk about today's most provocative issues. Unfiltered voices, bold, sharp perspective, real talk, and a call to action. This is not just an episode. This is a revolution. Tune in to Pull Up Speak Up here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
And then obviously we would be remiss if we did not remind you at the end of each episode and everything we do to incorporate our call to action, LESS, less. Our goal is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we're asking everyone to embrace less. The L stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial, cultural, and global nuances, so therefore you can speak from an informed position about things that may affect your life.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now, since you've enlightened yourself about other cultures and other racial nuances, now you can be more empathetic to what they go through because you can put yourself in their shoes.
The first S stands for share. Share your insights, enlighten others, read, learn, preach on it, speak on it, and don't hide it, divide it.
Absolutely. And the final S is stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, don't sit there and be shocked. Don't giggle. Say, Uncle Joe, Aunt Jenny, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, LESS, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And here's the kicker. We all will see the change that we want to see because less will become more.
We were given invaluable game in this episode, but go into the catalog and check out some of our previous episodes. Make sure you tune into future episodes. Go to our website, sign up for the newsletter, and make sure that you review and let us know things that you might have at the top of your mind you'd like to hear about. Subscribe and make sure you continue to listen. Where can they find us, Tony?
My friend, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at a Black Exec. For our fabulous guest, the magnanimous, gregarious, spiritual Charlie Lewis. For my brother, the co-host with the most down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We laughed about it. We're going to keep striving and thriving about it. We love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.